יוסף שפינל על הבסיס השני, שי אייכלר על הבסיס השלישי, אני בלי קול כבר מהאינינג הרביעי, אני לא יודע אם אתם מודעים לכך, אם כן אני מתנצל, אבל המשחק הזה גדול יותר, מכבי עלייה, רואים את התואר, רואים את האליפות, הכדור הזה מתגלגל, נעצר! זה יגיע לבסיס הראשון, מכבי עלייה לוקחת את האליפות! מכבי עלייה עושה את זה! אלופת החורף 2024, מי היה מאמין? שלום וברוכים הבאים ל-A כושר הוט דוג, פודקאסט הבייסבול הראשון בעברית עם יוני לב-ארי ואנוכי ארז שעד. שלום יוני.
אהלן ארז.
יוני משדר 219.
ש?
מגיע אליכם פיזית, צריך להגיד, אנשים לא יודעים את זה, מתוך משרדים בתת רש ובחסות תת רש מסחר ויבוא עצים.
בין הבוק למייפל.
שכן, מי שלא יודע, אנחנו מוקפים פה, לא פיזית אבל פיזית, בכל סוגי העצים מכל רחבי העולם, ובדקתי אותם אחד אחד, הם באיכות יוצאי דופן. צריך קצת לנפח, אני חושב.
איכות יוצאי דופן, אתה יודע, יכול ללכת לכל מיני מקומות.
מה?
איכות יוצאי דופן. יכול, זה לא אומר יוצאי דופן לטובה, אתה יודע. צריך להדגיש את זה. טובה באופן יוצאי דופן.
לא, לא, לא. טובה באופן יוצאי דופן, כן. בקרו, אתה כתבת את זה, אני רוצה להזכיר לך. בקרו אותנו בכתובת דרך בן צבי 20 ביפו או באינטרנט tmakafar.co.il, כי המחירים שלנו הם לא בדיחת קרש.
כל מה שאתם אוהבים בעולם העצים, וואו, זה
כן,
היה פעם.
כן, כן. טוב, יוני, אנחנו חוזרים לפרויקט הפגרה שלנו.
Yes,
you are working on your English. Today we have somebody who I'm very, very happy. We had a bit of an issue because of some missiles falling on some schools.
Yemeni people.
The Yemeni people, yeah. And then we have rain. So, hello, AJ Mitnick.
What's going on? Thanks for having me, Ares.
Oh, that's nice. See, you yeah. got a voice here. Yeah. AJ, first of all, how is your daughter?
You know, surprisingly, she's great. You know, like, it's something that's very almost weird. Like, friends from America text me and ask me the same question. Like, oh, how's your daughter? How's she handling the situation? And, like, she's having fun, you know, like, the first day.
No, that's explained.
Yeah, I'm explaining. You were supposed to be here, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't remember the exact date. And in the morning, I think, a day before, I was told that a missile fell on what... Originally, I was told the kindergarten in Ramat Efal, which I know of because I lived in Kiryat Ono. So I was like, oh, my God, it's, like, you know, very close to home for me. And the next thing, it turns out that it's elementary school, and it's your daughter's elementary school, and it fell on where her class was supposed to be.
Yeah, we actually also live just down the street from the school. So, you know, A, that it was in the middle of the night, so no kids were in school. And also B, that when it happened in the middle of the night, it hit the school where Dafka, nobody is there at that time, when all of us kind of live, like, the way that it's built is that all of our homes are, like, surrounding the school.
Which kind of will bring us to something else, because you come to us as the benevolent dictator for life, I believe. It's the term of a team called Maccabi Aliyah, who is it's a club, it's a moadon, and you have a baseball team, a basketball team, a women's hockey field team.
No. So team. I think you're confusing us with some,
the other Maccabi,
some other stuff.
So you have a baseball, a basketball?
So right now, currently, we have the baseball team in the PL that just won the fall tournament in our first season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a championship.
As the owner, you lifted the trophy. We just won our first championship in baseball, basketball. We just made it to the semifinals of the cup of the league that we're in, and we're undefeated in the league. So we're looking at promoting... and also winning the state cup.
Wow.
Which kind of like sets a standard that, you know, we're at our top teams looking to the top and looking for excellence. We have some players on our team, both like baseball, but mainly on basketball. You have some guys who played in college, some guys who are in top youth departments.
Let's talk about them in a moment. What are the other teams?
We have women's recreational basketball every Tuesday. And we also have on Thursday, men's basketball recreation. So we're mainly a basketball club.
Right.
But, you know, to the credit of Josh Alter, you know, like, that we built a relationship while I was working in Inter Alia, which was, mm-hmm. like, the club I was in the previous 3 years.
Right.
And when he found out that the direction we were going is partnering up with Maccabi and starting a new club, he was pretty...
I would say adamant.
Like, aggressive and amenable.
He's pretty... Like, he's very excited
and,
about
and
stuff.
And I think that we both were pretty quickly able to realize that this could be a cool thing.
And it was.
You know, we're trying to do cool things, so I'm happy so far.
All right, so before we delve into you as a person and then into this amazing project, and I have to say, not only... even if you wouldn't have won the championship, I would still say it's an amazing project. First, Yoni, who was born today?
Yeah, we're today. It's January 10th, right?
It is.
Yeah. We have a Willie Maccabi today.
A what?
Nice. Willie Maccabi.
Oh, I thought you said Willie Maccabi.
Willie Maccabi Aliyah.
Yeah.
We have some other names. I think we can just flip them on. Anyway, have a nice question.
Ask.
All right.
And you shall be answered.
Let's see.
Hopefully.
Name the only pitcher to reach 500, 600, and 700 complete games.
Complete games?
Complete games. He's the only one who achieved all of these.
Okay? 5,500 and above, let's say.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And reach up to 700.
It's very important they say only, because they sometimes say which pitcher, and we're like, oh, they can
names.
Be one or five.
Yeah. So is it Paul Galvin or Cy Young? Or Pete Alexander, or Walter Johnson.
That's
supposed to be those names, you know, the 1905.
Complete games. It's almost scream Cy Young.
Yeah? Well, yeah. But
you're saying
there are
it's...
two names, I think...
it's like trivia logic. If it's the obvious answer is always wrong.
Yeah. The
if this were the SATs, I would guess Cy Young for sure.
Well, I will guess C, Pete Alexander, because it's always C.
Okay, so you're going with Cy Young, you're going with Pete Alexander, I'll take Walter Johnson.
All right, then it's probably the... Who's the first one? Bob Gibson?
Pat Galvin.
Pat Galvin. Yeah. Oh, I see. I saw G. Okay, and we will know who
so
was
it's
right.
Not, it's not like the SATs where you put three Israelis in the room and they all got it wrong.
Well, that's a good thing we don't have. We don't get credited for our future in college about those things. Although it would have been nice if you had baseball questions in college. So anyway, but let's talk real business. You were born, as we can tell, in the US of A, New York.
I was born in New York, but I grew up most of my life in New Jersey, like in Livingston, New Jersey.
That's very... where in New York? Just
I was lived in Queens till I was 5 years old, and
all
then
right,
moved
Queens.
To Livingston, New Jersey.
I was like, if you were born in Brooklyn and moved to New Jersey, that's like, you know, we know you're Jewish now.
I have the flex now that my young son starts watching Spider-Man, and I'm from Forest Hills. That's the same town that Peter Parker's
from.
Oh,
that's beautiful. And he's a Mets fan, by the way.
My late grandfather, Jack, who actually my son, like, has his... My son is DJ, is Danny Jack. Like,
like
the middle name from my... grandfather, they were like living in Bayside, and they had actually purchased the Mets bullpen like van as that was like the car that my mom had when she was a kid, like because it was like on some sale, like and they lived right in Queens, right near the Mets.
All right, and what did you do with after growing up in New Jersey?
So I grew up in New Jersey. I went to, you know, Joseph Kushner Hebrew Academy and then Kushner Yeshiva High School. So I grew up in that community.
And a baseball basketball fan?
Was a pretty big time baseball player growing up. Always played baseball and basketball.
Yankee
you know, like, I was a Orioles Cal Ripken fan.
Oh.
Like, my dad's originally from Baltimore.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, growing up when the Yankees, like, had Derek Jeter and were Bernie Williams and were pretty awesome.
The
late 90s, even early 00s.
Yeah
so I'll even say, you know, like, I was a quite good baseball player. And basketball, I was always tall, but, like, smart player, role player. And I loved the game more, basketball, always. But baseball, I was better. You know, like, I won Cy Young of my Little League. Played on AAU teams. Yeah, I was a pitcher.
Well, I think you were a pitcher, leadoff hitter.
Like, was a guy when I was going to Jewish day school. All the other schools in the area were trying to, like, recruit me to come play baseball. Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
I actually, you know, encountered a little bit of anti-Semitism during my period playing baseball.
Baseball is such a Jewish game.
Yeah, when I was 12 years old, you know, like a teammate of mine whose father was also the coach of the team, like around the same time, like another parent was overheard hearing this coach saying, "I can't believe I have to play this Jew over my son." Goodness. And then a couple practices later, the kid called me the K word, you know, like I don't want to say slurs on your podcast.
Well, and, we try not to.
It led to a pretty big escalation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like the baseball field at the end of my house, you know, without like tuning my own horn, like baseball wasn't the most popular sport amongst the Jews in my town. And I was the only, let's say, known very good player who would go practice all the time. Right. And one day I went to the field and there was a pretty big swastika spray painted behind the home plate. I do have, like, friends from growing up who were African-American, not the best athletes, who got racism against them. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe you it could depends. Say the benefit of the doubt, but, like, in the end of the day, like, bad people are bad people. What is it up for us to decide what's their motives?
And we don't talk politics, but we have to, and I don't know if it's politics. There's always the question, when you encounter hatred, do you, let's say, put your head down, or do you excel? You know, because, and you can say, if you excel, you will prove that you are as good as everybody else.
Well, I mean, I could say at least for me, when it comes to baseball, you know, this was at a time before the Yeshiva League was having baseball teams.
Right.
So for me, it did kind of put me in a period of like end of eighth grade. Of having to make a decision of like to continue going to Jewish school and being in a Jewish environment or to play baseball. Right. And definitely if I did not encounter anti-Semitism before that, good chance like I might have gone on like continuing to play baseball.
That's interesting.
Whereas like so that they was won. That was I mean you could say that they won joking, or that's you know like on a personal level I like liked baseball because I was good. But I loved basketball because I love the game.
Right.
And I did, like, dive much deeper into basketball from the moment that I stopped playing baseball. So it worked out well, like, all said and done. I mean, but, like,
you're winning now with what you're doing here in Israel.
All right,
like,
so...
I can say, yes, that this was a pivotal moment. Like, also, that's around the same time I started, you know, I went not so long after that on a program called Rally for Israel 2, which was during the Second Intifada, like coming to support Israel.
Right.
So it was a little bit of like faced anti-Semitism, kind of feel like how things are going on around here, and definitely did make like being Jewish a very big part of my personal identity.
That's interesting because it's kind of interesting how just because you were attacked on one of your identities, it actually made you more... serious about it made you maybe it eventually brought you here,
you know, like it was something like being like a Jewish kid in America and like Jewish programs they'd sometimes like ask us like do you consider yourself a Jewish American or an American Jew, and like, I can sit here as an adult and say that after the experience I just said, after like being in armored vehicles with children throwing rocks at the bus, like being in more than 200 times in a shelter because of rockets. Like, I'm a Jew first, I would say. So he's confident.
Which brought you to Israel when?
I came to Israel. Like, I transferred to IDC Herzliya in 2009. So I've been here consistently since 2009. But really, I would say since 2002, since I was in the ninth grade, I had been spending, let's say, at least 2-3 months out of every year in Israel.
Your parents were born in the U.S.?
Yeah, my parents are both born in the U.S. Well. Like, had no, like, now I have family in Israel.
Yeah, obviously. Like, your family.
But, yeah, now, like, let's say my age generation of, like, myself and my cousins are, like, the ones who have made Aliyah to Israel.
Mm. And you had a career in the U.S., or you came here?
No, I came here when I was 20 years old.
All right.
So I was still a student. Like, I got my first degree. Like, I had obviously worked.
Yeah, obviously, it's different. In here, 20 years old, you don't even start.
I've been back to the U.S. and worked a little bit, like, in the period since. But, like, for the most, like, since I've graduated college, I've been coaching basketball.
All right. So that brings you to your youth. Let's say took your love for basketball and became a coach. Didn't have any idea. Did you think about staying an active player, or was it no longer in the cards for you?
I mean, I want to give a credit to the late Jan Sandusky, who was my high school basketball coach. I was an excellent player in high school, but for, you know, I'm a 6'2" center in a Jewish school, so it's like my prospects to be able to play after that was really like, you know, maybe I could be the third string player in Yeshiva University. So even my senior year of high school, I was already an assistant coach for the junior varsity.
Mm.
So I got to credit Coach Jan for giving me the push, even early on.
Giving you the hard talk, saying, listen, kid, you will not, let's look at the reality in the face.
Honestly, I was enough of a student of the game that by 12th grade, I realized, I wasn't going to be a player. But I will say, since that I've been to Israel, and, you know, especially now that not only was I in Ligat Al for 10 seasons, now I've been in these lower leagues, I do wish, hindsight being 2020, that I knew that if I made Aliyah, I would count as an Israeli player.
Mm.
I actually had skipped a grade, so I was 17 when I finished high school, that if I would have come to Israel after high school, made Aliyah, I could have played 2 more years of youth. I maybe could have. I didn't realize that there's a such thing of league art seat in Israel that I can only play in it if I'm Israeli. I thought that my only options were college.
Right.
So definitely now this is one thing that I kind of am hoping to be part of the change.
Right.
Is that young Jewish athletes do have more exposure, that there is opportunities for them to continue playing.
That's good.
Maybe not even going to college in the United States.
Yes.
You know, and I think there's also this stigma that players have of they're afraid that they're going to come to Israel and maybe be thrown in a war, which, especially after the October 7th war, is more legit of a threat. But the truth really is that it's not the end of the world if an 18 or 19 year old, instead of going to U.S. college, came to Israel, and maybe they'll have to, while they're being a player, be working in the Kiryat. It's not so bad. If anything, it'll help them make friends, help give them stability. We'll give them more value in life.
Yeah,
than going to college.
Some
in America.
People actually get a career out of it if they come to the. I know I work with a lot of people who started in the army, and now they basically have a career in high tech because the army does give you a lot of career opportunities. Not everything is, you know, washing dishes and.
Even forgetting about career differences, I feel like the quality of the certificate from a college degree has degraded. I think, if I'm looking now at, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, some of the players I play with, a friend of Avinoam Sachs, I'm not going to say his name, the player, but I have a player, a guy
Avinoam Sachs on our team is the guy we talked about.
That's been in Special Forces. He's going to hopefully come out at the end of February. He's the same age as, college kids who I know who are going out drinking and doing who knows what, going to class, and there's a protest outside their class of anti-Israel, and instead he's going in trying to save the hostages.
Mm.
That who in the end of the day, in 10 years, 20 years, what am I going to respect more? You know, people who came in here and were being a part of what were going on in Israel, are people who were taking some sociology class in Norfolk State. You know,
and this is actually something I have to say, and this will help us transition into Maccabi Aliyah, because I have to say, and a lot of respect to you. I was when you had, I think, the finals, and I really needed a player's name, or the semifinals. I was broadcasting, and I really needed to know who was this guy, because you made a last minute substitution. Never mind, and I could. So I basically came to you, and you were doing the players' pep talk before the game. And you know, Michael Levy, who is the coach, was giving them, you know, come here, play, da da da. You know, the pep thing. And then you started saying, you said, listen, guys, remember, there are people right now in Gaza, in Lebanon, who are giving their lives to protect you. And I'm like, I don't know if that's, and to me, that's something, I mean, I don't think about that when I come to a ball game. But I think that for people I mean, why did you say that? That's a big question. Why did you think
Interesting. It's interesting you ask, because in also our amateur basketball programming, also our like main basketball team, which we meet quite a bit before every single practice, before every talk, before every game. I like first of all that we're you can't put away put it out of the way. Aliyah's in the name. We're a Zionist organization.
Right.
But I think there's a responsibility for everyone in charge of any misgeret, like any like a thing going on in Israel. Like, there are people like me and you who right now are in a dungeon in Gaza, you know? Like, the people here, we're getting sick now, it's bad weather, we're complaining about our lives. There are people who have been 460 days.
Right.
So whatever, like, your political opinion is of, like, how we should get them back, what should the government do, that's separate. Like, we as people definitely should at least acknowledge what they're going through every day. So I think it's important for us to say that. And, you know, like, maybe it's because I've been living here for so long.
Right.
So I do have some, like, friends who are on their fourth time in Gaza, like right. that. I do think if there are people who, because of them, we could be sitting here right now safe, we should at least take, like, 1 minute before our practice to publicly acknowledge
them. So it's not like...
it's not like win for them.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like win for them, or it's not like...
Something that everybody has to remember. You have to win this game
because...
Oh, yeah. Who cares if we'll win, win or lose or whatever? Like, it's definitely...
It's like there's a radio talk show that they start every hour with saying that. Don't forget them.
Listen to the radio.
I mean, without even digging deep, like, there are people, now that we're sitting here and having a baseball podcast, there are people now that are like sitting in a trench,
an
uncomfortable situation,
but, you know, this
so that
now,
we can be safe. We should at least say thank you.
We're a sports show.
What brought you, I mean, you said you were coaching, assistant coaching and coaching in the Liga Ta'al, the Basketball Premier League, and in the lower levels. What brought you to this project, this Aliyah team?
Let's say during the period that I was an assistant coach in Rishon, Herzliya, and Maccabi, and Nes Ziona in my final year, you know, I had, just from the natural, me being an American Jew playing here, every time a new American player would come to Israel, I would reach out to them and help them through the situation. You know, a rookie mitazreach, you call them, like a naturalized citizen. Like, you kind of, like, it's not so easy. Sometimes there's been pushes to make rules against them, like rules to limit how many you can have on each team, or to tax if you have, like, over a certain salary, because you're kind of torn in the middle, because to the Israeli players, like, even though, like, you know, also there are some players who use tricks and shticks to get passports,
right?
But the vast majority are... similar situation like me, you know, like Jake Cohen grew up in a Jewish family, and like what you have to judge how many times he went to shul on Shabbos, like to be whether he counts as an Israeli player or not.
I
like,
always remember kind of Ariel McDonald came here as a Slovenian citizen.
So there are some situations like that, but in the end of the day, I do think that a Jew should be counted as an Israeli. But also, even besides like the rules, there is also like the stigma, and like you know, like you hang out with the Americans, but you count like the Israelis. And to make it here, it's something. It's not so simple.
Yeah, and some of them are not Jewish. Some of them,
and they are coming to be here, right? It's not like the Americans that are coming. It depends.
It's on a situational basis. I mean, you know, like that I'm saying, if your son all of a sudden would get a job offer in New York at a hedge fund, why would he like play for a fifth of the money for Bnei Herzliya? Like you might tell him as your father, if they're an Israeli player, to go take that bank job.
Israelis, so going to the States.
It's like you don't have to necessarily prejudge a player of like how many years you'll stay here, because like what should Tamir Blatt be punished because he got a great offer in Alba Berlin? You know, like
right.
Of course he's gonna take it.
obviously.
So basically, like I, on a personal level, like my career got stuck a little bit during Corona. My son Danny was actually born the same day they announced that Liga Ta'al would return. We were one of the only leagues in Europe that returned. And I was one of three people who had opted out of like the restart of the league.
Right.
Thinking, oh, I've been an assistant coach for 10 years. Like, probably I'll be able to stay for next year. If not, I'll find another team. Misjudged that it would be a very bad market.
I ended up
being out for a year. I went back to the U.S. I worked in finance for missing the 2020-2021 season. And then I was able to, like, during the work from home era, make it that I could work from Israel for the following year. And
that's what you studied? Finance?
I studied finance. And I, you know, Raviv Limonad had signed in Maccabi Ranana in second division. And, you know, we had a pretty good relationship in Nes Ziona. He linked me up with the coach. I signed to be assistant coach in Ranana. Was Yossi Bonen. And around the same time,
There will be a guide for our baseball fans who are like me. I have no idea what you're talking about. But
so a guy who...
That's time, okay. It's
like, I had been following Inter Aliyah, their soccer team, that like a college classmate of mine, Danny Markovitz, was one of the founders and board members.
Mm-hmm.
And they published, just as I signed in Ranana, that
when was it founded?
So this was Inter Aliyah.
Okay.
Inter Aliyah, I think they were founded in, I want to say, 2016, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And they had posted that they were going to start a basketball team. And I had anyway, like during the period when I was out, before I signed Ranana, had debated, like, okay, I have this WhatsApp group of Americans, like maybe I can start something similar.
Yeah.
And I figured, okay, they're going on it, like, cool. Ended up like leading the program, was able to sign some players who had played in Liga Leumit in recent years, like Olim, who are still here. We promoted in the first season, and really we're starting to build something good. Like we have a really special, unique group of guys in our basketball team. And then during the war, things got a little bit complicated. Inter Aliyah actually closed their Amuta. So they moved.
Called on the war?
You could say. They closed up shop, like going to the end of the season. And myself and several of the members of the basketball team linked up with Maccabi, Maccabi Israel, and started Maccabi Aliyah. So far, we've had, you know, just in our basketball team alone, players from 8 different countries. I think our baseball team is something like 7 different countries.
Only guys that come from outside, right?
So it's not only guys who come from outside. You know, like you seem like you know Israeli basketball. Meir Tapiro is in his third season playing with us. He's playing with us. Like Meir and I.
He's about to turn 50.
Like the last 3 games has actually been fantastic.
Oh. But it's the only thing, right? It's not like you have to be Meir Tapiro.
So first of all, I could say this because I was working with Meir Tapiro when he was GM in Asiana and I was assistant coach, that if I'm on a team with Meir Tapiro, Muvan Meilav, that we're gonna bring 4 foreigners to be the main players in our team. So it's not so crazy for me to bring a couple homegrown Israeli players who live near our gym to be like helpful players to our team.
These are the foreigners, right?
So we joke with the Israeli players that they're like the Zareem. But what makes it even more unique, another layer we add to it, is one of the players who's actually our best player, Ron Khangal, played for me in the youth in Maccabi Tel Aviv when I was assistant coach for Adi Amos in under 16. And, you know, slipped through the cracks, like was his rookie year, like a Nar poster, like end of the bench player in second division, and then came to play for us, and now is a monster. Like, we've helped develop him. We just switched his position, gave him confidence. We have 2 other, so he's 20 years old, and we have another 19-year-old, and another, like, our, that even though we're a team of Olim, it is important for us as an Israeli sports team, as an Israeli basketball team, Team Niguda Kadursal, to develop young Israeli players. You know, like that's one of the missions of the Iguda Kadursal, which we're in. It has been something that's been fantastic for our program because, you know, some of the guys on my team are CEOs, you know,
right.
That bringing in young guys with motivation who practice hard and also for them. You know, like it is like they're getting exposure to guys who work in high tech, like the young Israeli kids, like speaking English in every practice. Like one of the kids, like, you know, he has, it's like, first of all, one of them now has a American girlfriend that he met that was on Birthright. So he's like helping us bring.
See ya.
But I'm saying he's, you know, like I was just showing her the other day, like his text messages from when he was in high school, just to see how much his English has improved from being around us.
He has an American girlfriend. I was showing him his text. He does not have an American girlfriend anymore.
I'm joking. I'll be late, you know, like with like spelling late. Spelling late, like latte.
I work in high tech and I have... So there is a criteria to coming, or how do you contact those people? I mean, do you just sit next to in Natbag and like, okay, are you a player?
Fortunately, I would say, you know, like through whether it's Tamir Goodman or some of the other players who are in first division. He lives in Yerushalayim. Tamir is one of the
Israeli Michael Jordan.
I would say he's the Chesed Michael Jordan. Mm. Like he's the Michael Jordan of Chesed. One of the nicest, most generous.
Peter Kurtz, we call him the Moyel Whisperer. I mean, if there's a Jewish baseball player, he knows of him before that person is born.
There is a group of, let's say, some of the old, like, been around the block a couple times, mm-hmm. Olim in basketball, who are looking to help people. And I think since I also am looking to help people, I've been lucky that, like, sometimes guys just fall into my lap, you know, like, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, we're the type of club, you know, like, there's a player who came to Israel, was trying out for Division II, didn't get offered a full contract, and ended up, like, practicing with us for a while, and, like, if we were the type of team, like, let's say if I was an Israeli team, I could have for sure closed him and got him to play for us. He was in our gym every day working hard and was having trouble finding a team, but... I got him a team 2 leagues up from us, you know, like, that I think that, and not just myself, like, a lot of the other players on my team, like, I, like, help guys get jobs, help guys get apartments, are, like, nice. So, yes, I do scout, I go through lists of college players and look for names that seem, like, obvious, that maybe they're Jewish. I'm hoping, as we'll go up the leagues... we'll have the privilege to be a little bit more aggressive. You know, maybe we'll have apartments to be able to house players and it'll be easier to get some bigger names, high profile names. But for the most part, most of the players who've come to us, like our top players, are guys who've come out here with higher aspirations, who we've been helping them. And then because it's not easy to make it as an Olé, you know, like in their third division teams, getting DNPs and most of the time and like nobody's really caring about your situation.
Right.
Whereas I might show up at your game or I might text you and like tell you to keep your head up. And that does lead to guys asking, oh, you know, I'm not happy with my situation. Maybe I can come play for you.
Where's your home court?
We play in Beit Sefer Nofim, pretty close to here, actually, in South Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not a geographic place, right?
We're not a geographic place. Like, you know, I love Beit Sefer Nofim. Like, the staff there is great. The principal of the school is very nice and flexible. We're very happy with that facility. But, like, let's say long term, like, right now we are Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
But, let's say our mindset is, like, national. You know, like, I won't take a player because they don't live in Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you think about it as a sports team, so you're not going to say no. I will not promote to whatever Liga, second division, first division, because you know I want the CEOs to remain. And
we already are in the works. Like in Inter Alia, we were doing the same thing. Like that one will go up next season. Even we're going to open up a B team in the fifth division.
Mm, that's good.
Which I'm really looking forward to because I have some guys on my team who are, without cutting corners, are third string players on this team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That in the league that we're in now could be 20, 25 minutes a game players, even starters.
Right.
That have been like so nice of them that they're willing to come down for the year and practice hard and like keep the vibes good. Like right. You could easily be on a team where these guys are complaining and causing problems. And if anything, they're lifting us up. So definitely looking forward to them getting also helping us go up and then getting a chance to play next year.
And are you looking for other sports, other teams, or is this, you're comfortable where you are?
When you establish a new amuta, mm-hmm. we were recommended to keep it short. You know, I actually was planning just to only have basketball,
mm-hmm.
Before Josh kind of... slipped
just
in
you
like,
into a position.
Just before we founded our organization, I had to write on the paper, here, either Kadursal or Kadursal the baseball. Josh got me to put the baseball
that's,
in.
That's Josh. When he decides to do something,
so,
that's
so for something at least happens. For at least the next couple of years, like we'll just be basketball and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like it's one step at a time.
Is this your main job?
For right now.
Mm.
For right now.
And how can, before we talk a little bit about the baseball team, how do people who are interested contact you, or is there a, because there's no website.
For right now, you can contact us on Instagram, at Maccabi Aliyah on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working on a website. You know, we just opened up shop in August, cool. Really end of August. And let's say my first priority, you know, before going out and trying to find new sponsors, like first priority is to build a quality product to make sure that we have winning teams, have a great community, have a good group of guys, that there's something like a base. Like I think, you know, action and results like comes before talking.
Right.
So I think we've done that. We're well on our way to doing that. And like, hopefully, if we'll keep doing what we're doing, doors will open us for up.
And obviously, now that you won the championship, you have to pay the championship bonus to your players, so you're a little bit in debt.
So I will even say you maybe are saying it like a joke, but Michael Levy, our baseball coach, who was phenomenal in the championship game, did have in his agreement with us a championship bonus, and I happily.
What do you mean by phenomenal?
He pitched every innings.
He pitched a full game.
He pitched the whole game.
Michael Levy is the coach.
He's the coach.
He pitched.
So like
he picked himself to be the pitcher.
Yeah. Well, kind of. Akiva Epstein, who is like you know, best pitcher in the PL,
mm-hmm.
Also is the assistant coach of the under 18 national team.
That's right.
And he had made a choice not to play a couple days before, and also Rubert, like Rubert Cervezos, like who was we had a few South American players who were fantastic.
That's the fun thing.
We have a big South American community.
That's the thing. I mean, looking at your team, it's like an MLB player team in terms of the names, because you have American names and you have South American names.
No, I would actually have to ask like if you have that out before I get it wrong.
What?
Where is it from?
I want to say Rupert is from Cuba.
Oh. We had, but once we had a Cuban player, Johandre, he was playing like 15 years ago. I remember everybody was talking about it. It was like a
big but... You know, we were missing our, like, let's say, two statistically best pitchers. And, you know, I'll even say Michael, a couple games before that, had, like, that he has had some good games before that, but had
he's
his...
listed as a player?
He's registered as a player.
Yes.
He pitched
Inter Milan, and we're going to talk a little about them. Inter Milan, last season, it was still this year. He pitched for them on the opening game, and they won. And that was almost their only win in that season.
It was the only win.
I didn't remember. And they won. And the funny thing, they won over the same team, the U18 team, on that game, which was amazing because that was their first game, first win. Everybody was like, "Oh my God, we're gonna have a new juggernaut in the league." Well, not really.
Listen. At the start of the season, you're like, last year when Inter Alia started baseball,
mm-hmm.
I was not really involved, other than like when they got to like the finish line.
Yeah,
and they didn't have any players or a coach. I was like, "What's this?" Like, called David Weiss. Who I believe is like was the Little League national team coach, and he recommended Michael, who is his assistant, to coach. And then like Michael was able to ragtag put a team together. I'm not sure how they had like tryout or whatever, and they were pretty bad. And I was, you know, really only like second half of the season when I realized
so it's also only Olim new
more or less.
Yeah, okay.
And when I realized
half the league can qualify for that.
When I realized there was a chance either that the situation in Inter Alia was either I was going to be taking it over or starting something else.
Mm-hmm.
started to come around to the baseball games end of the season and was very dissatisfied, like, with how the team was, like, feeling and how unorganized it was. So at the beginning of the season, you know, when I brought Michael back, I was really driving him crazy. I was driving him crazy. Like, when we had the first tryout, like, he actually was even still in the States. Like, I was pretty tough on him. And we did have, like, a period that I was, like, really pushing him to, like, upgrade the team. We ended up signing those Polanco brothers. Like,
yeah.
Roberto
and Rodrigo, I think.
Yeah, and...
No.
Like, we were missing a catcher. One was one of the best catchers. And another was an outfielder that was, like, the fastest base runner I've seen in this league.
Yeah, insane.
And,
where did you find those guys?
You know, like, they were friends of Rupert. Like, Michael did, like, after I lit a fire under him, hit the phones and recruit and get some good players. And then, you know, like, end of the season when... You know, plan A, plan B, plan C fell out the window out of nowhere. He stepped up like Guevara and gave his best game ever and won a championship. Like,
yeah, but that's the thing. And the thing about Michael is, I mean, Josh is a bit like that also on the mound. He's a guy who carries the whole team on his back. And when he can, pound the zone and get the players' swings and misses, there's a momentum to him, and I don't know. Sometimes you want the pitcher to ignore everything, live in his own head. Michael is the opposite. Michael is the more he's have success and he's feeling the game. He's like taking everything. He's like talking to every player.
Like Offer Bobrov style.
I mean, listen, like
yeah, Offer Bobrov, and it's so fun seeing him because he's like he's orchestrating the whole game from the mound what I remember from the first game, and he did that again, and basically it was a question of not if, but when. When will the team give him the lead and take the win? It was almost a given at that point. I know you didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Like, I'm the type of guy who, like, my origin of, like, how things should be in professional sports. You know, the first bunch of coaches I was assistant for is Effie Birnbaum, Tzvika Sheriff, Muli Katsurin, Arik Shibik. Michael did have to bear the brunt of me pretty much demanding results. You know, like, I'll even say on here, like, we didn't join Maccabi specifically for no reason. Maccabi is the best.
Right.
So we're Maccabi of baseball. We have to be the best baseball team. Like, we're, like, the Maccabi of Israeli baseball right now.
The only thing is winning.
Like, we're Maccabi. Like, it's not so crazy to this all year, right, next year, so, to be the team that plays in Europe of baseball.
So, because of that, I will have to, because you said that, not because of any other reason, I will have to tell you that we everything is fine, but you were given not a curveball, the opposite of a curveball this season. Because this season, one of the Misgav teams were not playing. And the playoff games were not a series. So you had... I didn't say...
Well, first of all, that was anyway the format of the fall tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you didn't take like advantage of the situation. What?
It's like a COVID season.
Something like that. I didn't say you didn't take advantage, but next... The spring season, you will have to bring your A game.
You could also look at it in another direction, in that, like, when we had, like, players were missing and teams that were supposed to play against us backed out, mm-hmm. we were all of a sudden given switcheroos of, like, day before. You know, in the Iguda Kadursal, there's, like, rules of how you switch games. You know, like, whereas in baseball, especially in the year with the war, we had a couple of last minute switches.
Which is like what?
Where we played against Ranana,
mm-hmm.
when, like, we had a bunch of, like, guys away and injuries,
mm-hmm.
but we were originally supposed to play against the under 18 national team, but the under 18 national team hadn't had their tryouts yet.
So all of a sudden
the day before, or 2 days before, they tell us, oh, like, we're playing Ranana. We didn't get the choice.
But it's not like you're scouting. You're playing against whoever comes, right?
Yeah. I mean, no, you have a league. It's the Liga Al of baseball.
Like, you're sitting with your pitcher and you tell, okay, listen, we're playing tomorrow against U18. They have this lefty.
No, but if you know this guy has a good record against us players.
Like, in any other league, you can't just, like, we're supposed to play a team and then, like, 2 days before that, like switch it that yeah, we play a stronger opponent without us consenting to it.
Listen, I'm not saying.
So we actually could have. You could look at it the other way that, like, if things were, in my perspective, all the way fair, we could have had a better record, better seeding, easier path to the championship. Well,
that's the point. I'm not saying you are a fluke. I'm saying you play good next season.
If you will win,
I don't even say the championship, but if you will be as good a team on the spring, I am guaranteeing that I will stand in front of God and YouTube, and I will praise your team for the high heaven as an announcer and in this podcast, because I love those things. I love the players in the PL, and I think the world of them. But I'm saying this was a good season. But it was a good story. I think next season you have to bring your A game, and I'm challenging you to bring your A game and make me eat my words.
Yeah, but you know, like, the fact that it's a good story is awesome. I'm a little bit disappointed at how little that story is heard. I feel like Israeli baseball is something that's kind of like.
Next question I was about to ask you.
You know, like, I'm not so satisfied with the state of it.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely something needs to be done to make it there to be more outreach. You know, like, I can say, as somebody who is in a circle of people who are very interested in Israeli sports, you know, right. People in Ligat Al know what's going on in Ligat Al Kadurigel. You know, even, like, handball, if, like, Rishon will win the championship, like, sometimes people will just know.
Handball is on TV every Friday.
Is a sport that, like, if I'll say to somebody, like, oh, yeah, I'm an Israeli baseball champion, like with Maccabi Aliyah, they'll laugh and think it's a joke before, like, realizing, oh, that it's true. It's not something that, unless you, like, follow me on Instagram, would know about, like, which is sad.
Yeah.
Like, and I can even say, you know, like, the World Baseball Classic, you know, like, if I'm talking to the dads in Ghan that, like, I'll know that Luka Doncic, like, what his box score was last night, they don't know that, like, Israel has a great baseball team or that there's, like, Israelis.
We're aware of that.
Well,
but...
well, you know, because there's also there the level of, like, club loyalty, you know, like, that I'm hoping us as being Maccabi will help to shift the gears a little bit, because I want someone in Hapoel to think, oh, what's it, Maccabi wins the championship of baseball?
Let's make a team to try to beat me. Right? You know, Oshkedi or guys like this, or Arale, or whatever. You know people that can make things different in the media.
So let's see, but he's
in there.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see if we could convince them to use any of that real estate on baseball. You know, like, they might not get the clicks, so
try.
They want
to
do it.
Park this for a few seconds. I will want to talk a little bit about Israeli baseball, and then we will close up. But before that, I think it's time to tackle the expert, Yoni. You will have to face the music and figure out who are these players. Maybe you will even know that. It's a game. I picked randomly a game from between 1998. So we start with Stephen Drew.
Oh.
Who was the shortstop. Uh-huh. This is the lineup.
Who has the teams and the season.
Yeah. And the umpire and the score. Trent. Oh, my God. Trent. Oweltjen?
Yeah, you can move on.
Oeltjen, left field.
Okay.
Gerardo Parra, center field.
Uh-huh.
Was a baby shark.
Yeah.
Mark Reynolds was the third baseman.
Uh-huh.
And Miguel Montero, the catcher, that's the fifth player. And then you have Chad Tracy, first baseman. Who was substituted by Rusty Ryle, pinch hitter. Alex Romero, the right fielder, and batting eighth was Ogi Ojeda.
We're not playing AAA, right? Only
maybe. No. Maybe, I don't know. And he was relieved, substituted by Esmerling Vasquez, who was a pitcher. And batting nine, Max Scherzer, pitcher.
Oh, okay. I thought about the Nationals, so because of the baby shark.
Well, he said also the era, so that's pre-Nationals. No, you said in the 90s.
No, 1998 to 2024.
Oh, wow.
The last 25 years, so to speak. And Max Scherzer was relieved by Josh Whitesell, Clay Zavada, Blaine Boyer, and Ryan Roberts, who was a pinch hitter.
I was relieved by Max Scherzer. It's not Max Scherzer. I have no idea what he's going to do.
Okay, maybe you will have better luck with the second team. Batting first, second base, Kelly Johnson.
Who?
Yeah. Batting second, right field, Matt Diaz. Betting third base, Chipper Jones.
Oh, Chipper Jones?
Chipper Jones.
Okay.
He was relieved by Eric O'Flaherty and Mike Gonzalez, both pitchers. Then you have Garrett Anderson, left fielder, substituted by Reed Gwerke, left fielder. Yunel Escobar was batting sixth, shortstop. Adam LaRoche, first base. Ryan Church, batting eighth, center fielder, batting seven, center fielder, David Ross, the catcher, and batting nine, Tommy Hanson, who was substituted by Greg Norton, Boone Logan, and Omar Infante, who was the third baseman. My God, I wish I could take a picture of you now.
Is that real?
Is that real?
Would I lie? Like AI or something?
Would I? Oh my God! Well, listen, this is usually what I look like at the end.
My goodness, what Chipper Jones is doing there?
Playing third base, of course. He had a.
Wow. Do you have any idea? Teams are.
I mean, I have a guess.
Yeah, guess.
It's a random guess.
Okay.
August 2013, Pirates versus Braves.
Just like this? No. 2013,
yeah.
Pirates Braves. No, listen, okay. I know Scherzer didn't play for the Pirates.
I don't know. I have no. I'm saying no, what, I'm, that's but, my guess.
All right, all right.
Know, now that you're saying, because Scherzer and Parra were playing together at the Nationals, that I know.
Yeah,
but not at the time.
That is correct.
Not at the time that Chipper Jones was playing baseball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you're only thinking 2019. Yeah, well, so not, Chipper Jones was like in the Hall of Fame at 2019.
So we're going back to Detroit. I don't remember if Hernando Parra was playing.
Yeah, but Detroit was not in the National League.
Yeah,
this is a National League game.
Scherzer was playing somewhere else in between.
Maybe?
In between the Tigers and the Nationals? I don't remember that.
Maybe.
My goodness, listen, this is a tough one.
This is a tough one, yeah. I was surprised when I saw it.
How did you find it?
That's completely random.
Okay.
This is a cool exercise, though. I would have fun doing this game of basketball. Like, I might throw it to some of my players as a post-practice fun, like, late check.
Yeah, give them two teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, listen, I'll go with the Nets. Because I just don't find any other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nats Braves, but no other player was playing. No, only Chipper Jones is the only. Kelly Johnson was playing with the Braves.
Yeah. Listen, Jones never left the Braves, so it has to be the Braves.
Okay, so I'm going with Nationals Braves.
And the year?
2014.
Wow, that's interesting. So Chipper Jones, let's just. Download this. What did I just do?
Well, are you going to tell us the answer?
No, I'm going to leave you.
We're going to go home like and
go home.
Next episode. You start the next episode with the answer.
Okay. So first of all, this is what happened.
That's a good hook to get your audience to click on the next one.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you the next one. Well, we won't remember. The teams are the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Really?
Against the Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
A game that took place at 4:05 p.m. local in front of 23,668 attendance at Turner Field for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Greg, which channels was it on?
August 17, 2009.
And what was the weather?
Hernando Parra was playing in 2009.
Yeah, it was... Very young player in 2009. He was later on. Field condition is unknown. It's 86 Fahrenheit. Wind was,
I was joking.
Right, left, and it was
Scherzer
cloudy.
Was playing
Max Scherzer.
Yeah.
Started his career at Arizona for 2 years. Moved
really?
To Detroit.
Wow.
For at 2010 until 2014.
Do you remember that?
When I saw his name, yeah.
No, before.
I forgot about it.
I didn't know that.
And I forgot about it, but then I saw his name, and I was like, oh, yeah, right. And then he moved to Washington in 2015.
And they played together, right? Para and him in Washington.
Yeah. Right? Of course. They had to.
Yeah, the
2019 the championship. Yeah. Chipper Jones, you'll be delighted to know, was actually retired by 2012. So there was no way for him.
I tried to find the last one, the last season.
So there was no way for him to be there. And then Gerardo Parra.
Yeah, but you got to give me some credit that I got the Braves right, though.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Gerardo Parra started in 2009 in Arizona, and then he made to Milwaukee,
season.
Baltimore, Colorado, and 2019 in Washington, took a championship. He made a cameo appearance, 53 games in 2021.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we let you go, and let you go, Yoni.
And you too?
I'm letting everyone go. Okay. So... You touched on that. Baseball is, how should we say it, not the number one sport in Israel. It's not number nine. It's not number 20. I don't even know when.
Well, listen, if I wanted to go buy my son a baseball glove, where would I go? I have to buy from America.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yoni?
What?
Buying a baseball glove.
Yeah. No. You can't buy it here. No way.
All right.
Yeah. We're walking about bets. We're trying to get bets here.
Give me, let's say, you've given a carte blanche how to fix Israeli baseball. Let's make it popular. Let's make it...
I don't know if fix...
No, I'm joking. As you can see, we are going the good interviewer, bad interviewer. I'm asking the hard question, and he softens them up. Now, seriously, give me some... Because you're a man of vision, as we can establish. How do we get this? Because that's the question we keep asking. How do we make the sport more popular, bring more eyeballs, bring more kids, make it, I don't know, not number 10, but number 8, maybe number 5 eventually?
I think it's also more of, you know, I'm not sure how correct I am about this because I don't have like market research to back this up, but I do think that there is a large group or relatively large group of Jewish Americans who are already here,
mm-hmm.
who like baseball, some of whom will stay up all night for like an important baseball game, like to watch like playoffs of a team that they grew up on,
right?
That don't know or care that there's leagues here, and we kind of need to remedy that. I'm not sure what's the exact way to reach them. And then I also think like kids who are in yeshiva for the year programs or gap year programs who are baseball fans who... Like, it would take some effort by us to, like, convince them to get out to the field. You know, like, one of the challenges now is also that there's not so many fields. So, like, there are, let's say, maybe some players who maybe would have wanted to play for us but don't really want to schlep to Petah Tikva to some field in the middle of nowhere.
Let's just say it's not even Petah Tikva. It's the edge of Petah Tikva.
Yeah, it's not so easy, you know, like, to convince people to come, whether it's to play or to be a spectator. So I think that's something like, which is, it's easy to say, but like to make things happen is much more difficult. I think there's no other way to sugarcoat it that unless you get like Robert Kraft or like insert another name of like someone who's both love sports, very philanthropic, who is motivated to build baseball back in Israel without there being like a personal gain, with like the gain being that he grows a game that he loves.
Yeah, it's going to be a personal loss, let's just say.
Unless that'll be the case, it'll be very difficult to do anything that would really make it happen. Mm-hmm. So let's hope that step one is that some rich guy out there sees I won a championship in the PL and wants to beat us. A new, beautiful baseball field with a scoreboard and stands and, you know, place where they sell gum stands, and soda and popcorn like a normal game. it's the only way for that to happen is for there to be a lot of money involved. Yeah. And I don't think it's honestly so easy to convince the Mistrata Sport that it's worth it. They'll have to come out of somebody's pocket. Who would love to see it happen? I don't see any other way of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, like we have a lot of plans of like starting youth teams in English, of like bringing Olim athletes from college and finding them housing and like
is the situation here improving and detrimental at the moment?
Yes and no, but I would say for right now, like you know, it is like okay to put pause on like let's say fundraising.
Yeah.
While you know, like right now, it is more pressing to like you know, there's units that need hand warmers. You know, like obviously. So
yeah.
I think hopefully, I mean, listen, like the under 18 national team, like is a good group of guys. I've seen the under 16 that Nathan Bash coaches, like looks like a good group of guys. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things that really is missing in the PL is like where I've been asking that, like Michael, like we're recruiting players, where's like a 27-year-old player who grew up playing Little League? Like there isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, if we'll keep going like that, the Josh has been putting in good effort. I see David Weiss putting good effort, and Mizgav, I hear they're putting good effort. Like there is places where they are developing players. So if we'll get to a situation 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where do have like a group of players who are playing and they send their kids to play.
In 5 to 10 years, like, the level of playing will be. But I think one level above.
But I do think that
if
you will continue this like approach, I think you can make a big boost to it by reeling in Olim and gap year students who are here to be in the mix in baseball, like that are currently outsiders. So not only outsiders, don't even really even know like or take seriously that there's baseball.
So this brings us to the end of the show, where I usually say, if you know a baseball fan, tell him about the podcast. Well, tell him about the Israeli baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He will say thanks.
It goes together.
Yeah, but we have to end. I mean, AJ, we can have you here. I mean, we didn't even scratch the surface of your... we didn't even get, you know, Sodot from Chadar Al-Basha and... what's Zvi Kasher without clothes or stuff maybe too much information, but
I don't really like where this is going.
It's been fun, but unlike baseball, we do have a time limit. Oh, that was nice.
And
it's just about now, but not before Yoni will tell us that
Pat
Gondola was the
who was the name of the pitcher who reached 500, 600, and 700 complete games.
Yes.
Is it Cy Young, which AJ picked, Pete Alexander, which Eris picked, or I took Walter Johnson, or maybe it's Pat Galvin?
Who knows?
Alright, the answer is Cy Young.
It is Cy Young, well, obviously.
With 5 in...
What did you have in your SATs?
That's pretty good.
Alright! So, what did he do?
He reached 500 in 1903, 600 in 1905, and 700 in 1909.
I never won the Cy Young.
You have to use that.
We abused that joke. נסיים בזאת, יוני. לא יודע אם אתה יודע, אבל ניתן למצוא אותנו באתר בייסבול פודקאסט co.il או ביוטיוב, youtube.com/strudel-a-kosher-hotdog. And once again, it's Maccabi Aliyah on Instagram.
Maccabi.aliyah.
And if you can't spell either Maccabi or Aliyah,
Maccabi with double C, right?
Double C.
And Aliyah is A-L-I-Y-A-H. Oh, God. Just ask us on Facebook and we'll give you the deets.
If you write it in Hebrew,
it's the correct spelling. Of
well,
words.
I don't...
Write it in Hebrew, you'll find it, I guess.
Maybe.
Aliyah. תוכלו למצוא את הפודקאסט, לא את מכבי, אלא אותנו. באפל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, וכמובן בכל האפליקציות.
Anyway, any of your readers or anyone who's in baseball has to see the Petah Tikwa. Like, I had to go to Petah Tikwa so they can figure it out.
I'm still excited when they drive on Jerusalem and they get to the end of a highway and it says Begin Road.
Begin Road, yeah.
Yeah.
I've gotten that joke before.
Yeah, Begin Road. And that was the joke. I know that, that's no, a different joke. דרגו אותנו, תנו לנו משוב, תנו לייק, פרגנו בחמישה כוכבים. אם אתם באמת מכירים מישהו שאוהב בייסבול, תגידו לו על הפודקאסט, ספרו לו על הבייסבול הישראלי. אנחנו נגיד לכם תודה, ונגיד תודה מיוחדת למפיק האחראי שלנו, חיים כץ. תודה, הוא עבר, פגש רופא חדש.
Okay.
עבר רופא סוף סוף.
תודה טובה.
כן, הרופא בדק אותו, אמר לו, טוב, מסתבר שיש לך מים בברכיים, אבנים בכליות וסיד בעצמות, הוא רשם לו יותר בנייה. כן. משתדל. ניתן להמשיך את הדיון בפייסבוק או באתר המאזרשיפ שלנו, חופס, COIL.
Reading me and then we make
it. All right, and AJ, next year I will be honored to broadcast your games on the Goods YouTube channel. And I'm sure you will probably be more honored to replace me with somebody from Channel 5 who will come there, but until then, that's
step
what we
step,
have.
Step by step, step by step. Maybe we'll get you to Channel 5.
Oh, that's would be the day. Yoni Mashalom, man. Not you, no. Yoni's had heat
I
there.
I think you and Sammy Rieger would have a whole lot.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. Yoni Mashalom, what before we close?
I don't know, I'm not here.
תודה לכם על ההזנה לאי כושר הודו, גמיוני לברי וארז שץ, בייסבול טוב ישראל.
ספיידרמן.
Yeah, yes. It's documented. Yeah. Actually, most of Marvel, because of they are like bums and you know, not they are Mets fans. It's really
so
when you were like 4 and 2012.
I'm 1989.
I'm joking.
You don't see the little white in the beard.
Yeah, right? Oh yeah, please. You see a little brown in this beard. And every time I shave the beard, I'm like, oh my God, I probably got rid of the last non-white hairs I have. So, okay, Yoni.
Yeah. There's no future for us in college.
All right, so let's go back to you. First of all, AJ Mitnick, I really have to ask you about this AJ thing. First of all, how do you write it, like two letters or with dots?
It's very important. In English, if I write it, I'll just write AJ. I could get technical and put the A period, J period.
Gmail.
Yeah, so there's a few ways of writing. There's a few ways of writing. Right. So I got to credit my Hebrew way I write my name to Orsh Getty. Because my, you know, my wife would just write it like Agi. You know, it doesn't really count.
And it's, what was the last, who was the last time you were named by your, I wouldn't say Christian name, Hebrew full name?
My American, my English name, the last person who called me.
Your mother and you were five.
Was Mrs. Gare in first grade, like, refused to call me by AJ. That's because that, and also so telemarketers, Bituach Lumi.
Oh,
you know, like, if somebody calls and asks to speak to Aaron or Aaron.
And the full name is?
It's Aaron
and
Joshua.
This is a scoop?
Aaron Joshua.
Aaron Joshua.
It's such, Josh. You're Josh.
And it's such, I mean, mothers and teachers, Aaron Joshua Mitnick!
Yeah, I just didn't even get that. You know, even for my parents, you know, there's this, like, minhag, like, that between your birth and the Brit Milah, that they don't call you by your actual name. So in that period, they called me AJ, and it stuck. So there really wasn't...
amazing.